Okay, you are listening to Out and About on KYRS. Well, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Maeve. We aren't going to do the opening music because we are going to get to some plays right now. First thing I'm going to do is a little bit of a sound check, as I'm going to go around and I'm going to have everybody either introduce themselves or play the sound cue. First off the bat, I've got Alex Blackman. Why don't you give us a sound cue and let's hear how it sounds. That looks good on the board to me. All right.
Jared McDougal playing Ivan Vasilovich Lomov.
Joe Fay playing Stefan Stefanovich Chupikov.
And Sydney Anderson playing Natalia Stepanova.
Give me that again, would you, Sydney?
Yeah, my name is Sydney Anderson, and I am playing Natalia Stepanova.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, you guys ready to kick it?
Yeah,
let's
do
it.
We got about a 15-second lead-in.
Okay.
My dear fellow, whom do I see? Ivan Vasilovich. I'm extremely glad. Now this is a surprise, my darling. How are you?
Thank you, and how may you be getting on?
We just get along somehow, my angel. To your prayers and so on. Sit down, please do. Now, you know you shouldn't forget all about your neighbors, my darling. My dear fellow, why are you so formal in your getup? Evening dress, gloves, and so on. Can you be going anywhere, my treasure?
No, I've come only to see you, honored Stefan Stefanovich.
Then why are you in evening dress, my precious? As if you're paying a New Year's Eve visit.
Well, you see, it's like this. I've come to you, honored Stefan Stefanovich, to trouble you with a request. Not once or twice have I already had the privilege of applying to you for help, and you have always, so to speak, I must ask your pardon, I'm getting excited. I shall drink some water, honored Stefan Stefanovich.
He's come to borrow money. Shan't give him any. What is it, my beauty?
You see, Honor Stefanich, I beg pardon, Stefan, Honor, I'm awfully excited, as you will please notice. In short, you alone can help me, though I don't deserve it, of course, and haven't any right to count on your assistance.
Oh, don't go round and round it, darling. Spit it out. Well?
One moment. This very minute. The fact is, I've come to ask the hand of your daughter, Natalia Stepanova, in marriage.
My dear fellow, I'm so glad and so on. Yes, indeed, and all that sort of thing. I've been hoping for it for a long time. It's been my continual desire. I've always loved you, my angel, as if you were my own son. May God give you both his help and his love and so on. I did so much hope. What am I behaving in this idiotic way for? I am off my balance with joy. Absolutely off my balance. Oh, with all my soul, I'll go and tell Natasha and all that.
Honored Stefan Stefanovich, do you think I may count on her consent?
Why, of course, my darling. As if she won't consent. She's in love. Egad, she's like a lovesick cat. And so on. Shan't be long.
It's cold. I'm trembling all over, just as if I'd got an examination before me. The great thing is, I must have my mind made up. If I give myself time to think, to hesitate, to talk a lot, to look for an ideal or for real love, then I'll never get married. Brr, it's cold. Natalia Stefanova is an excellent housekeeper. Not bad looking, well educated. What more do I want? But I'm gaining noise in my ears from excitement. And it's impossible for me not to marry. In the first place, I'm already 35. Critical age, so to speak. In the second place, I ought to live a quiet and regular life. I suffer from palpitations. I'm excitable and always getting awfully upset. At this very moment, my lips are trembling and there's a twitch in my right eyebrow. But the very worst of all is the way I sleep. I no sooner get into bed and begin to go off when suddenly something in my left side gives a pull and I can feel it in my shoulder and head. I jump up like a lunatic, walk about a bit and lie down again. But as soon as I begin to get off to sleep, there's another pull. And this may happen 20 times.
Hello there! It's you! And Papa said, go, there's a merchant come for his goods. How do you do, Ivan Vasilovich?
How do you do, Honor Natalia Stefanova?
The weather is splendid now, but yesterday it was so wet that the workmen didn't do anything all day. How much hay have you stacked? Just think, I felt greedy and had a whole field cut, and now I'm not at all pleased about it because I'm afraid my hay may rot. I ought to have waited a bit. But what's this? Why, you're in evening dress. Well, I never. Are you going to a ball or what? Though, I must say, you look better. Tell me, why are you got up like that?
You see, Honor Natalia Stefanova, the fact is I've made up my mind about to ask you to hear me out. Of course, you'll be surprised and perhaps even angry, but it's awfully cold.
What's the matter? Well?
I shall try to be brief. You must know, Honored Natalia Stefanova, that I have long since my childhood, in fact, had the privilege of knowing your family. My late aunt and her husband, from whom, as you know, I inherited my land, always had the greatest respect for your father and your late mother. The Lomovs and the Chubakovs have always had the most friendly and, might I almost say, the most affectionate regard for each other. And, as you know, my land is a near neighbor of yours. You will remember that my oxen meadows touch your birchwood.
Excuse my interrupting you. You say, my oxen meadows, but are they yours?
Yes, mine.
What are you talking about? Oxen meadows are ours, not yours.
No, mine, Honor Natalia Stefanova.
Well, I never knew that before. How do you make that out?
How? I'm speaking of those oxen meadows which are wedged in between your birch woods and the burnt marsh.
Yes, yes, they're ours.
No, you're mistaken, Honor Natalia Stefanova, they're mine.
Just think, Ivan Vasilovich. How long have they been yours?
How long? As long as I can remember.
Oh, really? You won't get me to believe that.
But you can see from the documents, Honor Natalia Stefanova. Oxen Meadows, it's true, were once the subject of dispute, but now everybody knows that they are mine. There's nothing to argue about. You see, my aunt's grandmother gave the free use of these meadows in perpetuity to the peasants of your father's grandfather, in return for which they were to make bricks for her.
No, it isn't at all like that. Both my grandfather and great-grandfather reckoned that their land extended to burnt marsh, which means that oxen meadows were ours. I don't see what there is to argue about. It's simply silly.
I'll show you the documents, Natalia Stefanova.
No, you're simply joking or making fun of me. What a surprise. We've had the land for nearly 300 years and then were suddenly told that it isn't ours. Ivan Vasilovich, I can hardly believe my own ears. These meadows aren't worth much to me. They come to 13.5 acres and are worth perhaps 300 rubles. But I can't stand unfairness. Say what you will, but I can't stand unfairness.
Hear me out, I implore you. The peasants of your father's grandfather, as I have already had the honor of explaining to you, used to bake bricks for my aunt's grandmother. Now, my aunt's grandmother, wishing to make a pleasant...
I can't make head or tail of all this about... aunts and grandfathers and grandmothers. The meadows are ours, and that's all.
Mine.
Ours. You can go on proving it for 2 days on end. You can go and put on 15 dress jackets, but I tell you, they're ours, ours, ours. I don't want anything of yours, and I don't want to give up anything of mine. So there.
Natalia Ivanova, I don't want the meadows, but I am acting on principle. If you like, I'll make you a present of them.
I can make you a present of them myself, because they're mine. Your behavior, Ivan Vasilovich, is strange, to say the least. Up to this, we have always thought of you as a good neighbor, a friend. Oh, giving me my own land, indeed? No, really, that's not at all neighborly. In my opinion, it's even impudent if you really
then
want
you make
to know-
out that I'm a land grabber. Madam, never in my life have I grabbed anybody else's land. I shan't allow anyone to accuse me of having done so. Oxen meadows are mine.
It's not true. They're ours.
Mine.
It's not true. I'll prove it. I'll send my mowers out to the meadows this very day.
What?
My mowers will be there this very day.
I'll give it to them in the neck.
You dare.
Oxen meadows are mine, you understand? Mine!
Please don't shout! You can shout yourself hoarse in your own house, but here I must ask you to restrain yourself.
If it wasn't, madam, for this awful, excruciating palpitation, if my whole inside wasn't upset, I'd talk to you in a different way. Oxen meadows are mine!
Ours.
Mine!
Ours.
Mine!
What's the matter? What are you shouting at?
Papa, please tell to this gentleman who owns Oxen Meadows. We or he?
Darling, the medals are ours.
But please, Stefan Stefanovich, how can they be yours? Do be a reasonable man. My aunt's grandmother gave the meadows for the temporary and free use of your grandfather's peasants. The peasants used the land for 40 years and got as accustomed to it as if it was their own when it happened that...
Excuse me, my precious. You forget just this, that the peasants didn't pay your grandmother and all that because the meadows were in dispute and so on. And now everybody knows that they're ours. It means that you haven't seen the plan.
I'll prove to you that they're mine.
You won't prove it, my darling.
I shall.
Dear one, why yell like that? You won't prove anything just by yelling. I don't want anything of yours, and I don't tend to give up what I have. Why should I? You know, my beloved, that if you propose to go on arguing about it, I much sooner give up the meadows to the peasants than you. There.
I don't understand. How have you the right to give away somebody else's property?
You may take it that I know whether I have the right or not, because, young man, I am not used to be spoken to in that tone of voice and so on. I, young man, am twice your age and ask you to speak to me without agitating yourself and all that.
No, you just think I'm a fool and want to have me on. You call my land yours. And then you want me to talk to you calmly and politely. Good neighbors don't behave like that, Stefan Stefanovich. You're not a neighbor, you're a grabber.
What's that? What did you say?
I'll have the matter taken to court and then I'll show you.
To court? You can take it to court and all that. You can. I know you. You're just on the lookout for a chance to go to court and all that. You pettifogger. All your people were like that. All of them.
Never mind about my people. The Lomovs have all been honorable people. And not one has ever been tried for embezzlement like your grandfather.
You Lomovs have had lunacy in your family. All of you.
All.
Your grandfather was a drunkard and your younger aunt, Natasha Milanova, ran away with an architect. And
your mother was humpbacked. Something pulling at my side. My head. Help! Water!
Your father was a gambling guzzler.
And there haven't been many backbiters to equal your aunt.
My left foot has gone to sleep. You're an intriguer. Oh, my heart! And it's an open secret that before the last election, you bribed... I see stars... Where's my hat?
It's low. It's dishonest. It's mean.
And you're just malicious, double-faced intriguer. Yes.
Here's my hat. My heart. Which way? Where's the door? I think I'm dying. My foot's quite numb.
And don't set foot in my house again.
Take it to court. We'll see.
Devil take him.
What a rascal. What trust can one have in one's neighbors after that?
Villain! Scarecrow!
The monster! First he takes our land, and then he has the impudence to abuse us.
And that blind hen, yes, that turnip ghost, has the confounded cheek to make a proposal and so on. What a proposal!
What proposal?
Why, he came here so as to propose to you.
To propose? To me? Why didn't you tell me so before?
So he dresses up in evening clothes, the stuffed sausage, the wizen-faced frump.
To propose to me? Ah! Bring him back! Back out! Bring him here!
Bring whom here?
Quick! I'm ill! Fetch him!
What's that? What's the matter with you? Oh, unhappy man that I am! I'll shoot myself! I'll hang myself! We've done for her!
I'm dying! Fetch him!
At once, don't yell.
What have they done to me? Fetch him back! Fetch him!
He's coming, I tell you. Oh, what a burden, Lord, to be the father of a grown-up daughter. I'll cut my throat. I will indeed. We cursed him, abused him, drove him out, and it's all you. You.
No, it was you.
I tell you, it's not my fault. Now you talk to him yourself.
My heart's palpitating awfully. My foot's gone to sleep. There's something keeps pulling in my side.
Forgive us, Ivan Vasilevich. We were all a little heated. I remember now. Oxen meadows really are
My yours. Heart's beating awfully. My meadows. My eyebrows are both twitching.
The meadows are yours. Yes, yours do. Sit down. We were wrong.
I did it on principle. My land is worth little to me, but the principle
Yes, the principle, just so. Now let's talk of something else.
The more so as I have evidence. My aunt's grandmother gave the land to your father's grandfather's peasants.
Yes, let that pass. I wish I knew how to get him started. Are you going to start shooting soon?
I'm thinking of having a go at the Blackhawk honor, Natalia Stefanova, after the harvest. Oh, have you heard? Just think what a misfortune I've had. My dog, Guess, who you know, has gone lame.
What a pity. Why?
I don't know. Must have gone twisted or bitten by some other dog. My very best dog, to say nothing of the expense. I gave Mironov 125 rubles for him.
It was too much, Ivan Vasilovich.
I think it was very cheap. He's a first-rate dog.
Papa gave 85 rubles for his Squeezer, and Squeezer is heaps better than Guess.
Squeezer better than Guess? What an idea! Squeezer better than Guess!
Of course he's better. Of course, Squeezer is young. He may develop a bit, but on points and pedigree, he's better than anything that even Volchinesky has got.
Excuse me, Natalia Stefanova, but you forget that he is overshot, and an overshot always means the dog is a bad hunter.
Overshot, is he? Oh, first time I hear
it. Assure you that his lower jaw is shorter than the upper.
Have you measured?
Yes. He's all right at following, of course, but if you want him to get hold of anything...
In the first place, our Squeezer is a thoroughbred animal. The son of harness and chisels. Well, there's no getting at the pedigree of your dog at all. He's old and as ugly as a worn-out cab horse.
He is old, but I wouldn't take 5 Squeezers for him. Why, how can you? Guess is a dog. As for Squeezer, well, it's too funny to argue. Anybody you like has a dog as good as Squeezer. You may find them under every bush, almost.
There's some demon of contradiction in you today, Ivan Vasilovich. First, you pretend that the meadows are yours. Now that Guess is better than Squeezer. I don't like people who don't say what they mean, because you know perfectly well that Squeezer is 100 times better than your silly Guess. Why do you want to say it isn't?
He is.
It's not true.
Why shout, madam?
Why talk rot? It's awful. It's time your Guess was shot and you compare him with Squeezer.
Excuse me, I cannot continue this conversation. My heart is palpitating.
I've noticed that those hunters argue most who know
the
least.
Madam, please be silent. My heart is going to pieces. Shut up!
I shan't shut up until you acknowledge that Squeezer is 100 times better than your
100 times worse! Be hanged to your Squeezer. His head, eyes, shoulder.
There's no need to hang your silly Guess. He's half dead already.
Shut up! My heart's bursting.
I shan't shut up!
What's the matter now?
Papa, tell us truly. Which is the better dog? Our Squeezer or his Guess?
Stefan Stefanovich, I implore you to tell me just one thing. Is your Squeezer overshot or not? Yes or no?
And suppose he is. What does it matter? He's the best dog in the district for all that, and so on.
But isn't my Guess better really now?
Don't excite yourself, my precious one. Allow me. Your Guess certainly has his good points. He's purebred, firm on his feet, has well-sprung ribs and all that. But my dear man, if you want to know the truth, that dog has 2 defects. He's old and he's short in the muzzle.
Excuse me, my heart. Let's take the facts. You will remember that on the Marusinski hunt, my Guess ran neck and neck with the Count's dog, while your Squeezer was left a whole verse behind.
He got left behind because the Count's whipper in hit him with his whip.
And with good reason. The dogs are running after a fox when Squeezer goes and starts worrying a sheep.
It's not true. My dear fellow, I am very liable to lose my temper, and so just because of that, let's stop arguing. You started because everybody is always jealous of everybody else's dogs. Yes, we're all like that. You too, sir, aren't blameless. You no sooner notice that some dog is better than your Guess than you begin with this, that, and the other, and all that. I remember everything.
I remember, too.
What do you remember?
My heart! My foot's gone to sleep. I can't.
Oh, my heart! What sort of hunter are you? You ought to go and lie on the kitchen oven and catch black beetles, not go after foxes. Oh, my heart.
Yes, really, what sort of hunter are you anyway? You ought to sit at home with your palpitations and not go tracking animals. You could go hunting, but you only go to argue with people and interfere with their dogs and so on. Let's change the subject in case I lose my temper. You're not a hunter at all anyway.
And are you a hunter? You only go hunting to get in with the Count and to intrigue. Ah, my heart. You're an intriguer.
What? I an intriguer? Shut up.
Intriguer?
Boy, pup.
Old rat Jesuits.
Shut up or I'll shoot you like a partridge, you fool.
Everybody knows that. Ah, my heart. Your late wife used to beat you, my feet. temples, sparks. I fall, I fall.
And you're under the slipper of your housekeeper.
There. My heart's burst. My shoulders come off. Where is my shoulder? I die. Doctor!
What sort of hunter are you? You can't even sit on a horse. Papa, what's the matter with him? Papa, look! Papa! Ivan Vasilievich! He's dead! Ivan Vasilievich, what have you done to me? He's dead! A doctor!
Oh, what is it? What's the matter?
He's dead! Dead!
Who's dead? So he is, my word. Water, a doctor! Drink this. No, he doesn't drink. Means he's dead, and all that. I'm the most unhappy of men. Why don't I put a bullet in my brain? Why haven't I cut my throat yet? What am I waiting for? Give me a knife. Give me a pistol. He seems to be coming around. Drink some water. That's right.
I see stars. Mist. Where am I?
Hurry up and get married, and well, to the devil with you. She's willing. She's willing and all that. I give you my blessing and so on. Only leave me in peace.
What? To whom?
She's willing. Well, kiss and be damned to you.
Oh, he's alive. Yes, yes, I'm willing.
Kiss each other.
Kiss whom? Very nice, too. Excuse me, what's it all about? Oh, now I understand. My heart. Stars, I'm happy. Natalia Stefanova, my heart's gone to sleep.
I'm happy too.
What a weight off my shoulders. Ugh.
But still, you will admit now that Guess is worse than Squeezer.
Better.
Worse.
Better.
Well, that's one way to start your family bliss. Have some champagne.
He's better.
Worse.
Champagne.
Worse.
Better. Champagne.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. And that, of course, was The Proposal by Anton Chekhov. And appreciate it. And we'll bring in the next group.
We'll do that.
And I'm going to play our 20-minute after the hour, just a real short bit, and then we'll be right back.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
All right, we are getting settled back in the studio again. We're going to do another Anton Chekhov play, and we're going to do, this one is called The Bear. And we're going to go around and do another little microphone check. And if you, Joe, if you want, there's a chair in there. But if you're okay. So, all right, let's go around and go ahead, kick it off, Alex. Oh, it comes through good. All right, and go ahead. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Casey Garcia playing Popova.
I'm Babe Iyer, playing Gregory Stefanovich Smirnov.
And I'm Ali Abood, and I am playing Luca.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ali. Do that again.
Ali Abood playing Luca.
Okay, sorry about that, Alex. No, my mistake. Okay, go for it.
Is it right, madam? You're just destroying yourself. The maid and the cook have gone off fruit picking. Every living being is rejoicing. Even the cat understands how to enjoy herself and walks about in the yard catching midges. Only you sit in this room all day, as if this was a convent, and don't take any pleasure. Yes, really, I reckon it's a whole year that you haven't left the house.
I shall never go out. Why should I? My life is already at an end. He is in his grave, and I have buried myself between four walls. We are both dead.
Well, there we are. Nikolai Mihailovich is dead. Well, it's the will of God, and may his soul rest in peace. You've mourned him, and quite right. But you can't go on weeping and wearing mourning forever. My old woman died too when her time came. Well, I grieved over her. I wept for a month, and that's enough for her. But if I've got to weep for a whole age, well, the old woman isn't worth it. You've forgotten all your neighbors. You don't go anywhere, and you see nobody. We live, so to speak, like spiders and never see the light. The mice have eaten my livery. It isn't as if there were no good people around, for the district's full of them. There's a regiment quartered at Riblov, and the officers are such beauties you can never gaze or fill at them. And every Friday there's a ball at the camp, and every day the soldiers' band plays. Eh, my lady? You're young and beautiful with roses in your cheek. If you only took a little pleasure, beauty won't last long, you know. In 10 years' time, you'll want to be a pea, hang yourself among the officers. But they won't look at you. It will be too late.
I must ask you never to talk to me about it. You know that when Nikolai Mihailovich died, life itself lost all meaning for me. I vowed never to end my days, to cease to wear mourning or to see the light. You hear? Let his ghost see how well I loved him. Yes, I know it's no secret that he was often unfair to me, cruel and even unfaithful, but I shall be true till death and show him how I can love. There, beyond the grave, he will see me as I was before his death.
Instead of talking like that, you ought to go and have a walk in the garden. Or else order Toby or Giant to be harnessed and then drive out to see some of the neighbors. Madam. Dear madam, what is it? Bless you.
He was so fond of Toby. He always used to ride on him to the Korchagins and Vlasovs. Oh, how well he could ride. What grace there was in his figure when he pulled at the reins with all his strength. Do you remember? Toby... Toby! Tell them to give him an extra feed of oats.
Yes, madam.
Who's that? Tell them that I receive nobody.
Yes, madam.
You will see, Nicholas, how I can love and forgive. My love will die out with me only when this poor heart will cease to beat. And aren't you ashamed? I am a good and virtuous little wife. I've locked myself in and will be true to you till the grave, and you... Aren't you ashamed, you bad child? You deceived me, had Rose with me, left me alone for weeks on end.
Somebody is asking for you. He wants to see you.
But didn't you tell him that since the death of my husband, I've stopped receiving?
I did, but he wouldn't even listen. Says that it's a very pressing affair.
I do not receive.
I told him so, but the devil curses and pushes himself right in. He's in the dining room now.
Very well. Ask him in. What matters? How these people annoy me. What does he want from me? Why should he disturb my peace? No, I... See, I shall have to go into a convent after all. Yes, into a convent.
Ugh, you fool! You're too fond of talking, ass! Oh, madam, I have the honor to present myself. I am Gregory Stefanovich Smirnov, landowner and retired lieutenant of artillery. I am compelled to disturb you on a very pressing affair.
What do you want?
Your late husband, with whom I had the honor of being acquainted... died in my debt for 1,200 rubles on 2 bills of exchange. As I've got to pay the interest on a mortgage tomorrow, I've come to ask you, madam, to pay me the money today.
1,200... And what was my husband in debt to you for?
He used to buy oats from me.
So don't you forget, Luca, to give Toby an extra feed of oats. If Nikolai Mihailovich died in debt to you, then I shall certainly pay you, but you must excuse me today, as I haven't any spare cash. The day after tomorrow, my steward will be back from town, and I'll give him instructions to settle your account, but at the moment, I cannot do as you wish. Moreover, it's exactly 7 months today since the death of my husband, and I am in a state of mind which absolutely prevents me from giving money matters my attention.
And I am in a state of mind which, if I don't pay my interest due tomorrow, will force me to take a graceful exit from this life. Feet first. They'll take my estate.
You'll have your money the day after tomorrow.
Well, I don't want the money the day after tomorrow. I want it today.
You must excuse me. I can't pay you.
And I can't wait till the day after tomorrow.
Well, what can I do if I haven't the money now?
You mean to say you can't pay me?
I can't.
Is that the last word you've got to say?
Yes, the last word.
The last word. Absolutely the last.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Very much. I'll take note of it. And then people want me to keep calm. I meet a man on the road, and he asks me, "Why are you so angry, Gregory Stefanovich?" But how on earth am I not to get angry? I need my money desperately. I rode out yesterday, early in the morning, and called on all of my debtors, and not a single one of them paid up. I was just about dead, beat after it all, slept goodness knows where in some inn with a vodka barrel by my head. At last, I get here, 70 versts from home, and hope to get something, and I am received by you, with a state of mind. How shouldn't I get angry?
I thought I distinctly said my steward will pay you when he returns from town.
I didn't come to your steward, but to you. What the devil, excuse me for saying so, have I to do with your steward?
Excuse me, sir. I am not accustomed to listen to such expressions or to such a tone of voice. I want to hear no more.
Well, there. Huh. A state of mind. Husband died 7 months ago. Must I pay the interest or mustn't I? I ask you, must I pay or must I not? Suppose your husband is dead and you've got a state of mind and nonsense of that sort. And your steward's gone away. Double take him. What do you want me to do? Do you expect me to go and run my head into a brick wall? I shall jolly well stay here until she pays. How angry I am today. How angry I am. All of my insides are quivering with anger. I can't even breathe. Fool. Oh, my word. I even feel sick. Waiter!
What is it?
Get me some kvass. Or water. What a way to reason. A man is in desperate need of his money, and she won't pay it because, you see, she is not disposed to attend to money matters. That's real silly feminine logic. That's why I never did and don't like now to have to talk to women. I'd rather sit on a barrel of gunpowder than talk to a woman. I feel quite chilly. And it's all on account of that little bit of fluff. I can't even see one of those poetic creatures from a distance without breaking into a sweat. Out of sheer anger. I can't look at them.
Madam is ill and will see nobody.
Get out! Ill and will see nobody. No, it's all right. You don't see me. I'm going to stay here and will sit until you give me my money. You can be ill for a week if you like. I'll stay here for a week. If you're ill for a year, I'll stay here for a year. I'm going to get my own, my dear. Oh, you don't get at me with those widow's weeds in your dimpled cheeks. Oh, I know those dimples. Oh, it's bad. The heat's frightful. Nobody pays up. I slept badly. And on top of everything else, here is a bit of fluff in mourning with a state of mind. Oh, my head's aching. Shall I have some vodka? What? Yes, I think I will. Waiter!
What is it?
A glass of vodka. Oof. I must say, I look well. Dust all over, boots dirty, unwashed, unkempt, straw on my waistcoat. My dear lady very well may have taken me for a brigand. It is rather impolite to come into a drawing room in this state. But it can't be helped. I'm not here as a visitor, but as a creditor. And there's no dress specifically prescribed for creditors.
You allow yourself to go very far, sir.
What?
Nothing, really.
Whom are you talking to? Shut up!
The devil's come to stay. Bad luck that brought him.
How angry I am! So angry that I think I could grind the world into dust! I even feel sick! Waiter!
Sir, in my solitude I have grown unaccustomed to the masculine voice, and I can't stand shouting. I must ask you not to disturb my peace.
Pay me my money, and I'll go.
I told you perfectly plainly. I haven't any money to spare. Wait until the day after tomorrow.
And I told you perfectly plainly I don't want the money the day after tomorrow, but today. If you don't pay me today, I'll have to hang myself tomorrow.
But what can I do if I haven't got the money? You're so strange.
Then you won't pay me now, eh?
I can't.
In that case, I shall stay here and wait until I get it. You're going to pay me the day after tomorrow? Well, very well. I'll stay here until the day after tomorrow. I'll sit here all the time. I ask you, have I got to pay the interest tomorrow, or haven't I? Or do you think I am doing this for a joke?
Please don't shout. This isn't a stable.
I wasn't asking you about a stable, but whether if I get my interest to pay tomorrow or not.
You don't know how to behave before women.
No, I do know how to behave before women.
No, you don't. You're a rude, ill-bred man. Decent people don't talk to a woman like that.
What a business. How do you want me to talk to you? In French or what? Oh, Madame, je vous prie. Oh, how happy I am that you don't pay me. Oh, pardon. I have disturbed you. Oh, such lovely weather today. And how well you look in mourning.
That's silly and rude.
Silly and rude. I don't know how to behave before women? Madam, in my time, I have seen more women than you have seen sparrows. 3 times I've fought duels on the count of women. I've refused 12 women, and 9 of them have refused me. Yes, there was a time when I played the fool, scented myself, used honeyed words and wore jewelry, made beautiful bows. I used to love, to suffer, to sigh at the moon, to get sour, to thaw, to freeze. I used to love passionately, madly, every blessed way. Devil take me. I used to chatter like a magpie about emancipation and wasted half my wealth on tender feelings. But now, you must excuse me. You won't get around me like that now. I've had enough. Black eyes, passionate eyes, ruby lips, dimpled cheeks, the moon, whispers, timid breathing. I wouldn't give a brass farthing for the lot, madam. Present company always expected all women, great or little, are insincere, crooked backbiters, envious liars to the marrow of their bones, vain, trivial, merciless, unreasonable. And as far as I'm concerned, excuse my outspokenness, you have the misfortune to be a woman. And you know from yourself is what is the nature of a woman. tell me, truthfully, have you ever seen a woman who is sincere, faithful, and constant? You haven't. Only freaks and old women are faithful and constant. You'll meet a cat with a horn or a white woodcock sooner than a constant woman.
Then, according to you, who is faithful and constant in love? Is it the man?
Yes, the man.
The man? Men are faithful and constant in love? What an idea. What right have you to talk to me like that? Men are faithful and constant? Since we're talking about it, I'll tell you that of all the men I knew and know, the best was my late husband. I loved him passionately, with all of my being, as only a young and imaginative woman can love. I gave him my youth, my happiness, my life, my fortune. I breathed in him. I worshipped him as if I were a heathen. And what then? This best of men shamelessly deceived me at every step. After his death, I found in his desk a whole drawerful of love letters. And when he was alive, it's an awful thing to remember. He used to leave me alone for weeks at a time and make love to other women and betray me before my very eyes. He wasted my money and made fun of my feelings, and in spite of all of that, I loved him and was true to him. And not only that, but now that he is dead, I am still true and constant to his memory. I have shut myself forever within these four walls and will wear these weeds to the very end.
Weeds. I don't understand what you take me for. As if I don't know why you wear that black domino and bury yourself between four walls. I should say I did.
It's so mysterious. Oh, so poetic. When some junker or some poet goes past your window, he'll think, oh, there lives the mysterious Tamara who, for the love of her husband, buried herself between four walls. We know these games.
What? How dare you say all that to me?
You may have buried yourself alive, but you haven't forgotten to powder your face.
How dare you speak to me like that?
Ugh, please don't shout. I am not your steward. You must allow me to call things by their real names. I am not a woman, and I am used to saying things I think straight out. Don't shout either.
I'm not shouting, it's you. Please leave me alone.
Pay me my money and I'll go.
I shan't give you any money.
Oh, no, you will.
I shan't give you a farthing just to spite you. You leave me alone.
I have not the pleasure of being either your husband or your fiancé. So please don't make a scene. I don't like it.
So you sit down.
I do.
I ask you to go away.
Well, give me my money. Oh, how angry I am. How angry I am.
I don't want to talk to impudent scoundrels. Get out of this. Aren't you going? No?
No.
No?
No!
Very well, then. Luca? Show this gentleman out.
Would you mind going out, sir, as you're asked to? You needn't.
Shut up! Who are you talking to? I'll chop you into pieces!
Little fathers, what people?
Oh, I'm ill! I'm ill! I can't breathe!
Where's Dasha? Dasha! Dasha Pelagia! Dasha!
Oh, they've all gone out to pick fruit.
There's nobody at home! I'm ill! Water!
Get out of this now!
Can't you be more polite?
You're a boar! A course bear! A barbon! A monster!
What? What did you say?
I said you're a bear! A monster!
May I ask what right you have to insult me?
And suppose I am insulting you? Do you think I'm afraid of you?
And do you think that just because you're a poetic creature that you can insult me with impunity? Eh? Huh. Huh. We'll fight it out.
Little fathers, what people? Water.
Pistols!
Do you think I'm afraid of you just because you have large fists in a bull's throat? Mm. Eh? You bourbon?
We'll fight it out. I'm not going to be insulted by anybody.
Bear.
I don't care if you are a woman.
Bear.
One of the softer sex indeed. It's about time we got rid of prejudice and that only men need to pay for their insults. Devil take it. If you want equality of rights, then you can have it. We're going to fight it out.
With pistols? Very well.
This very minute.
This very minute. My husband had some pistols. I'll bring them here. What pleasure it will give me to put a bullet between your thick head. Devil take you!
I'll bring her down like a chicken. I'm not a little boy or a sentimental puppy. I don't care about this softer sex.
Gracious little fathers, have pity on a poor old man and go away from here. You frightened her to death and now you want to shoot her?
If she fights, well, that's equality of rights, emancipation, and all of that. Here, the sexes are equal. I'll shoot her on principle. But, what a woman. Devil take you. I'll put a bullet into your thick head, eh? Oh, how she reddened. Oh, her cheeks shone. Oh, she accepted my challenge. My word. It's the first time in my life that I've seen...
Go away, sir, and I'll always pray to God for you.
She is a woman. Oh, that's the sort I can understand. A real woman. Not a sour-faced jelly bag, but fire, gunpowder, a rocket. I'm even sorry to have to kill her.
Dear sir, do go away.
I absolutely like her. Absolutely. Even though her cheeks are dimpled, I like her. I'm almost ready to let the debt go. And I'm not even angry any longer. Wonderful woman.
Here are the pistols. But before we fight, you must show me how to fire. I've never held a pistol in my hands before.
Oh, Lord, have mercy and save her. I'll go and find the coachman and the gardener. Why has this affliction come on us?
Mm-mm. Well, you see, there are several sorts of pistols. There are Mortimer pistols, specially made for duels. They are precision cap. There are Smith & Wesson revolvers, triple action with extractors. They are excellent pistols. They can't cost less than 90 rubles the pair. You must hold the revolver like this. Huh. Her eyes. Her eyes. What an inspiring woman.
Like this?
Yes, like this. Oh, and then you cock the trigger and you take aim like this. Uh-huh, yeah. Put your head back a little. Hold your arm out properly. Yeah, like that. And then you press this thing with your finger, and that's all. The great thing is to keep cool and aim steady. Try not to jerk your arm.
Very well. It's inconvenient to shoot in a room. Let's go into the garden.
Come along then, but I warn you, I'm going to fire into the air.
That's the last straw. Why?
Well, because it's my affair.
Are you afraid? Yes? Ugh. No, sir, you don't get out of it. You come with me. I shan't have any peace until I've made a hole in your forehead. The forehead, which I hate so much. Are you afraid?
Yes, I am afraid.
You lie. Why won't you fight?
Because I like you.
He likes me. He dares to say that he likes me.
Mm.
That's the way.
Listen, are you still angry?
I'm devilishly annoyed too, but do you understand? How can I express myself? The fact is that, you see, it's like this, so to speak. Well, it's not my fault that I like you. I like you. Do you understand? I almost love you.
Get away from me. I hate you.
God, what a woman. I've never in my life seen one like her. I'm lost. Done for. Fallen into a mousetrap like a mouse.
Stand back or I'll fire.
I'll fire then. You can't understand what happiness it would bring to die before those beautiful eyes. To be shot by a revolver held in that little velvet hand. Oh, I am out of my senses. Think and make up your mind at once, because if I go, we shall never see each other again. Decide now. I am a landowner of respectable character, have an income of $10,000 a year. I can put a bullet through a coin tossed into the air as it comes down. I own some fine horses. Will you be my wife?
Let's fight. Let's go out.
I am mad. I understand nothing. Waiter! Water!
Ugh, let's go out and fight!
I'm off my head. I am in love like a boy, like a fool. I love you! I love you as I have never loved before. I have refused 12 women. 9 have refused me, but I have never loved one of them as much as I love you. I offer you my hand. Yes or no? You don't want me? Very well.
Stop.
Well?
Nothing. Go away. No, stop. No, go away. Go away. I hate you. No, don't go away. No. If you knew how angry I am. How angry I am. Oh, my fingers have swollen because of all of this. What are you waiting for? Get out!
Goodbye.
Yes, go away. Where are you going? Stop. No, go away. Oh, how angry I am. Don't come near me.
How angry I am with myself. I am in love like a student. I've been on my knees. I love you. What do I want to fall in love with you for? Tomorrow, I've got to pay the interest and begin mowing. And here, you. I shall never forgive myself for this.
Get away from me! Take your hands away. I hate you. Let's go out and fight.
Little fathers! Oh.
Luca! Tell them in the stables that Toby isn't to have any oats at all today.
Oh, that was fantastic. You know, you guys, that was a... We just heard, for those who were listening and not knowing what was going on, we were listening to 2 Anton Chekhov plays, The Proposal and The Bear, and directing The Proposal was Jeffrey Redlington, and the cast was Sidney Anderson, Jared McDougall, and Joe Fay, and The Bear was directed by Joseph Selle and will feature and features Casey Garcia, Babe Iyer, and Ali Aboud. And we had Alex Blackman doing the sound effects. And that is it. And it's perfectly at 4:55. We did this just at the perfect amount of time. Thanks, you guys. That was fantastic.
Thank you, man.
And you are all listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1, 92.3 FM. And I was your host, Maeve, on Out and About. I'm not gonna say, I'm not gonna say.
A show, huh? Big name corporations went all out this July 4th with a patriotic ad blitz professing their devotion to America's democracy. But it amounted to a firecracker of hypocrisy. For many of these showboat patriots have been backroom funders of Trump regimes, repression of our people's democratic rights. Also, there's an internal level of cynical dishonesty in their flashy show of support for egalitarian values. In the past few years, a clique of these Silicon Valley and Wall Street giants have been monkey-wrenching the rules of their own corporate governance to crush the very idea of shareholder democracy. Yes, such a concept has existed, at least in theory. For decades, big business profiteers have been given special privileges over the rest of us, claiming to be democratic enterprises governed by masses of common shareholders who get one vote for each share of stock they own. Actually, that makes a corporation more of a plutocracy, since the more stock you own, the more votes you get. Today, though, even plutocracy is too democratic for monarchical billionaire bosses like Elon Musk, CEO of SpaceX. So they've invented a superclass of shareholders, mostly themselves and their cronies. These elite owners get domineering voting power, exceeding all other investors combined. For example, Musk owns about 40% of the stock in SpaceX, but his self-created system gives him more than 80% of shareholder votes. Among other advantages, this skewed voting power makes Musk, quote, unfireable, unless he votes to fire himself. This is Jim Hightower saying, beware of billionaires professing any allegiance to America's democratic values. In fact, just beware of billionaires, period. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
This is KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, on the dial at 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And streaming at kyrs.org.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.